Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Okay, I'm not just excited about this morning. I'm zealous, passionate. Just turning your Bibles to, where should we start? Pick a scripture. That one will do. Let's have a quick look at Matthew 22. I'm going to zip through because we want to meet with Jesus this morning. What a great song, eh? What a brilliant song. And there's a few more that we're going to get to at some point over the next few weeks. Just want to do a real, just quick thing in the Word. I believe God wants to do something in us and amongst us this morning. And, I just love Jesus. Over the last few weeks, I especially since the 40 days, I've been, God, I just want to be a person of habitation. I want to be a person that you're just infusing. I don't just want to live normal, live this. God, come and inhabit me in a fresh way. Come and infuse me with who you are. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. John, can you do me a favor? Some of the guys that are outside, can you ask them to come in? Because they need to be in here this morning. The people that are right outside the building. It's fine to have a chat when people are arriving, but there's a bunch of guys that need to be in here this morning. That not just chatting out there. They need to. Thanks, mate. Brilliant. Sorry, I'm just really zealous that we as a people, God has got hold of us, but we've got to get hold of Him in a fresh way this morning. And how much of that happens is determined to my response and your response today. So let's have a quick look in Matthew 27. What does it say here? That some of the religious guys were trying to trap Jesus with some questions and catch him out. And they say, what is the greatest commandment that God gave in the law? And he answers in verse 37 of Matthew 22. He says, you are to love the Lord your God. What did I say? Matthew 22, verse 37. At least you're listening. That's cool. Brilliant. Thank you. I'm reading from the Bible. You are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. That's every aspect of your personality and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and most important of God's commands. And so Jesus replied to their question, what's the greatest commandment? He said to love God with every fiber of your being, with your soul, with your mind, your emotions, your will, with your body, with your heart. He's just saying, love God with everything that is within you. Just give to him, love him, whatever. But then he says, the second is like it or similar. You are to love your neighbor in the same way that you are already you're caring about yourself and your own welfare. Everything that is taught in God's law and by the prophets is based on these two commandments of love. You can't have the one without the other. You've got to have the first one and the second one. You can't just have the first without the second. You can't have the second without the first. You've got to have them two together. But then, this is the great command, if you like, that Jesus gave. To love God with everything you've got, and then to love others of yourself. But let's have a quick look at John 13, because Jesus went a bit further in John 13. He didn't just give them a great command to love God. He gave them a new command. Because we're going to see in a minute, we want to love God with absolutely everything we've got. You can do that to a certain level in your own ability, but there's another dynamic that God is infusing in our lives at this moment. John 13, let's have a look, verse 34 and 35. Then Jesus turns to these guys and he said, verse 34 of John 13, I'm giving you a new command. So he's taking it to another level now. Before he said, love others as you love yourself, but now he's saying, here's a new command, love each other, which sounds the same. But then let's see what kind of love it is. In the same way that I have loved each of you, so you must love each other. Well, so he loved them with a different dynamic of love, agape, God's love. He loved them in another dimension, unfailing love. And he says, now love one another in the same way that I have loved you. Then he says, so you must love each other. Verse 35, when you do this, everyone will see that you are truly my disciples. They will know this because of your love for each other. So we've heard the great command, love God with everything you are, with everything you've got. Then he says, here's a new command. Now don't just love others as you love yourself. Now love them in the same way that I have loved you. Okay, but let's have another look. That's the great, or the new command. Let's have a look. What does it say in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20? Anybody know that one? Great commission. So what does he say here? First of all, great command. Love God with all you've got. The new command. Love one another as I have loved you. Now he gives the great commission. Jesus says, all authority, verse 18. All heavenly and earthly authority has been given to me. So now I tell you to go and make disciples of every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them, or example to them, teach them to obey all that I have taught and commanded you. And be assured of this, I am always present with you, even to the end of this age. So there's the Great Commission. So it starts with love God with everything you've got. Then he says you're going to love one another in a different dimension than your own love. You're going to love with the same love that I've loved you with. So I'm empowering you to love others with a supernatural love. Then he says, now go to the world, go and make disciples of all nations, being a person that is zealous, passionately in love with God, giving themselves fully to God, but then loving other people unfailingly with that God dynamic of love. Now go to the world, but then he says in Acts 1 verse 8, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the great empowering, if you like, then to live out this dynamic of life. We see it in the first few chapters of the book of Acts, where they're laying down their lives, they're sharing with each other, they're giving to each other. There's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit work that is awesome. But let's have a look at Psalm 27, because it all begins here. Psalm 27, verse 4. Great command, love God with everything. New command, love one another as I have loved you. The great commission, go and make disciples of all nations. Then the great empowering, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. But let's just have a look right at the heart of that. Let's have a look at David's heart for a few moments. I love these few verses and some of the verses we're going to be looking at. And just what David was saying to God and his heart and the zeal that was in there. And because that's how we're going to be. Not just from this morning, but after today. We're drawing a line. Everything that's happened up to now has been brilliant. But today, we're going to say, right, now we're going forward in another dimension of the Holy Spirit, another dimension of his life and his power. And God is here this morning to interrupt your world and to interrupt your lifestyle. He's walking in today and saying, come on, it's time for something fresh, something new, something more, a greater release of my life and energy and power in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your work, whatever sphere of life that God's saying, don't live like that. We're going onwards and upwards. We're going forwards. We want to get hold of God in the same way that he has got hold of us this morning. Let's have a look. What does David say here? One thing I ask of the Lord. How many things have you asked for this week? Have you asked for this or for that or for the other? Have you asked this one? One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. This is what I'm searching out. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm trying to discover and trying to find. This is what David's saying. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Well, the word seek there means morning by morning. It means constantly. It doesn't mean I've rocked up this morning for a one-off occasion. What it's talking about is David saying here, one thing I ask of the Lord, that day after day, morning after morning, I love that, that I may dwell. That I may dwell. The word dwell there means to be established in, to become one with. It actually means to be married to. Oh, that's brilliant. David is saying to the Lord, morning after morning, I want my relationship with you to be like I'm one with you. I'm married to you. It's so intimate, so close, so real, so dynamic. It's like I'm married to you, that I know the inner secrets of your heart, God. I know what makes your heart tick. I know what's in your mind. I know what's going on in you because I want to be married to you. I want to be one with you. I want to be close to you. I want to be so close that there's nothing that can separate me at all. because of what's going on in me, morning by morning, day after day. Good morning, church. I'm having a great time up here. You can just join in with me this morning. That I may dwell, to be established. It also means to sit at the feet of. I want to sit at your feet. I want to learn from you. I want you to be my teacher. I want you to speak to me. I want you to show me, teach me, give me understanding of who you are. Then he says, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. The word gaze there is to behold with pleasure or to be captivated by the one you're gazing at, in the beauty or the splendor here of who you are, and to seek you in your temple. We don't have to go to a place to meet with God because he's in us. You are a habitation. You are a temple. You are a living stone. God abides and dwells and remains in you. What we want to be is people that are cultivating that environment of the presence of God, the tangible revealing of God in our lives. And we spend time morning after morning saying, God, you're awesome. God, you're just wonderful. I'm not here just to say, can I have this, can I have that, or can I have the other? God, first and foremost in my heart is I want to seek you. I want to know you because you are the wellspring of life. You are the one that satisfies. You are the one that meets every need. And so, God, I'm here this morning to worship you, to cultivate my whole being, my life, being a place of habitation, being a place where you dwell, where you love to be, Holy Spirit. Because you find somebody who's open, who's teachable, who's ready for whatever you want to do in their lives. Come on. Church, it's time to arise, to wake, and to live in another dimension of who God is. Psalm 132, have a look there. Psalm 132, love this, verse 7. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us go to his place of habitation. Let us worship, it says here. The word worship there, it means to fall prostrate before the one you're worshiping. But it also means to bow, not just to bow down, it means to bow self down. That's awesome. So he's saying, you know, I want to worship you. I'm bowing self down. I'm bowing my preferences, my prejudices, my understanding, my attitudes, my motives, my agenda. I'm laying everything. I'm bowing self down now because I recognize that you are the living God, that your ways are the right ways, that your word is the truth. And I bowed self down now so that I line up my spirit, my heart, my mind, my whole being with who you are, Jesus. And so he's saying here, he says, let us go. I want to be in that place of habitation. I want to be at that place where I'm living my life prostrate before you. We're not just talking about this morning where we bow or lie down or whatever we do. We're talking about living before God in this way. Where we're living before God saying, I want to live prostrate before you. I want to live with self bowed down before you. Now your spirit really can rule and reign in my life. And everything that goes on is subject to your spirit, and the spirit of truth is at work in me. Then he says, I'll try and keep my voice. Then he says, let us worship, bow down, whatever, at his footstool. I love that. Footstool there is not God sitting in a big armchair with a pipe with his feet up, wondering what's going to go on today in the world. That footstool is a place where God rules and reigns. His footstool is a place where he said, I want to bow down at your feet, at your footstool, because that's where you're standing and ruling and reigning. I want to be under that rule and reign. I want to be under your majesty. Come on. Everything's going to flow out of this in your life in a fresh way. You're thinking, what's this got to do with reaching people? Absolutely everything. Arise, O Lord, and come to your resting place. You and the ark of your might. Now, for David, it's talking about having to go up to the temple. The ark of the covenant represents the presence of God on earth. You don't need the ark of the covenant. You are now an ark of God, if you like, because you house the presence of God in your life. What we want to do is make sure we're cultivating that presence so the dust of life is not settling on that, or the familiarity of life or our Christian lifestyle even is not putting a surface on that, or putting a restriction on that, putting a limitation on that. The Holy Spirit is wanting to rise up in you this morning in a fresh way, being released on your life in a fresh way. And so he's saying, I've got a, that resting place, the ark of, but God is, you are God's resting place. You are God's ark, if you want to put it that way, where he houses his presence now on earth. May your priests be clothed with righteousness. That's us. May your saints sing for joy. There's a joy that God is releasing this morning. We're going to get into worship and whatever in a little while, but there's a joy that God is releasing. Let's have a look at Psalm 85, verse 9. Psalm 89, verse 9. This is the revival psalm. If you read the whole thing, it's about being a revived person. God doesn't send revival just out of the blue. He revives you. He revives me. As he revives us, his Holy Spirit is sent in a fresh way then to explode through our lives. It's the two working together. But let's have a look at verse 9 in Psalm 85. Surely his salvation, his deliverance is near to those who fear him. The word salvation there means deliverance. It means liberty. It means freedom. And the word liberty there means to be exempt from guilt and shame. And so the Bible says, the word says here, surely your exemption, your freedom from guilt and shame and pain and sin, surely your freedom, your exemption is near to those who fear you, who revere you, who bow self down and say, God, I want to be a person of habitation. Surely your freedom, your deliverance, your breakthrough is there for that person. That his glory, his weightiness may dwell where? Not just in you, but in the land. Just nudge the person next to you. Say, come on, this is great. That his glory, that his weightiness may dwell in the land. The word dwell there doesn't mean to be married like it does in the previous scripture. The word dwell there means to remain constantly. How many of you want the weightiness of God to remain constantly in your life, in your home, in this town, in this region, in our nation? Well, God says, well, let's be a people of habitation then, so that his weightiness is not his heaviness, because God's not heavy. God's weighty. You know, when Jesus was preaching and teaching, the people were amazed at the things he said, because he taught with one who had authority. He wasn't drawing on the natural resources of men like the other rabbis were. They quoted other people's sayings and they quoted other things, but Jesus didn't come quoting somebody else's great thing. He came speaking the truth. He came revealing the kingdom. He revealed something supernatural. And they said, where did you get that authority from? He got it from cultivating the presence of God. You say, well, he was God. He was, but he was fully man as well. How many times did he nip off on his own? When he said to the disciples, just go on the boat, go on the other side. I'll see you later, lads, you know. And or go here and I'll meet you, I'll catch you up. And how often did he go? And I don't know, Matthew 17 says he was transfigured, that Peter, James and John saw Jesus in his glory. I reckon that happened a lot with Jesus. And if you and me, if we're used to that kind of relationship with God, if we're just cultivating the presence of God, how much more would we just nip off and have a few minutes with the Lord? Rather than, oh, I'm supposed to go and have a bit of time with Jesus. I better go and pray. I'm supposed to. I should read the Bible and all of that. Man, God wants to kick that lot out of your life this morning. God is not an onerous taskmaster who said you're supposed to read the Bible, you should pray, you should do this, you've got to do the other to fulfill everything. That it's like, God, I love you, I want to be with you. Jesus, you're amazing. I love it when you speak to me, because when you speak to me, stuff gets sorted. A freedom rises in my life. When you speak to me, it's like this fresh living water that flows over my soul. And where there's unrest, I become restful. Where there's no peace, I receive peace. Where there's turmoil, it gets driven out, because your word just speaks freedom and life into me. And so... these guys, when they heard Jesus, where did you get that authority? He got it from being, well, what did he do? He bowed, he made sure. Jesus had a self life. The amazing thing is, he never acted in self. But what he understood is if he didn't bow self down constantly, self would rise up and he would then act independently from God, then we'd all be in trouble. So he knew, man, I've got to make sure that everything that is within me is really bowed down to the Father. I want to stay submitted. I want to stay humble. I want to stay under his authority. I want to sit at my Father's feet because that's the place of rule and reign. That's the place where I bow down. That's the place that I can then rise from and move in his name and go with his presence. See, when he's with God, it looked like the glory of God. The presence of God was there. But when he was in front of people, they didn't say, you got a halo around you. You're glowing. What they said is, where did you get that authority? Where did you get that weightiness? We don't hear people talk like that. What is it about you? There's something that is like, whoa, I want to. And what did it do? It drew people to be with him. People wanted to be with him because there was something about him. This is weighty. This has got an authority. This is, when I hear you, it's like there's sounds of freedom. There's sounds of health. There's sounds of hope. There's something just rises in me because when we come in that way into our own lives and other people's lives, there's something of God that reaches down onto the inside of other people and draws the depth, I don't know, deep calls to deep, if you like. It draws from the depth of what is in people. And they say, I want to know this God in the same way that you do. So I love, so it starts with David saying, one thing I ask. This is what I seek. This is what I want to do morning after morning, day after day. I want to know who you are, God. I'm not just after another revelation today that I can write down in my notebook. I'm not after just another thing that I might not ever do anything with. Most importantly, God, I want to know who you are. And as you reveal who you are, and you show me who you are in your word, then that revelation becomes something that's not just written in a book. Well, that's a cool statement, you know. But actually, there's something that then gets even more written on the inside of who we are that just causes us to be like, God, I want to live before you in a way that honors you, in a way that reveres who you are. See, why do we want to encounter God on a Sunday morning or whenever we meet together? Because that affects what you do tomorrow. See, the more you cultivate that habitation, the more aware you are in everyday situations of the voice of God at work in you. The more sensitive you are then to the Holy Spirit in a situation. Because some people say, what has worship and meeting with God got to do with going in the office on Monday? Absolutely everything. If you never spend time cultivating the presence of God, if you don't spend time worshiping the Lord, when temptation comes, when challenge comes, when this or that comes during the week in all kinds of environments, how do we deal with it if we don't spend time cultivating being a person of habitation, sensitive to the voice of God, having a sensitive heart and a responsive heart? Then when the challenges of life comes, there's something of God that because it's stirring and working in our lives, that then something of God rises up and we don't react, but we respond. With the heart of God, the nature of God, the character of God. Because when you develop being a person of habitation, what happens is you're cultivating the nature and the character of God being revealed in you and through you in a more powerful way. How many of you want, I want God to dwell in our land, the weightiness of God to dwell in our land like never before. And so we're going to just spend some time this morning just cultivating the presence of God, just getting hold of God. We're going to have communion first as we just start to flow into that and just set ourselves before God, bow our hearts, if you like. And when we do this morning for the rest of the morning, the next however long, 45 minutes or so, this isn't a somber moment, okay? It's not, let's all go quiet now because we're going to meet with Jesus. This is how we started is how God wants this morning to flow, all right? And it doesn't mean the song's going to be pumping fast necessarily, but what it does mean is you and me from in here, this isn't suddenly going into religious mode, all right? This meal represents life. Jesus went through hell to give us life. That's what the cross was. It was Jesus going through hell. He didn't stay there. He went through hell. When he took the sin of mankind on himself, the physical look of what he looked like. The Bible says that he was so marred, so marked, so that you couldn't tell who he was. Flesh and bones hanging on that cross. Why? Because the outward physical thing represented, that's the damage that sin, that's the damage that hell does on people, that it so mars people's life. They don't know what they look like. They don't know what's going on the inside, on the outside. And Jesus hung there and went through hell. But then he could say, it is finished, because he went through hell on the cross. And then when he said, it is finished, it's because he'd come through the other side and sin had been defeated, death had been defeated, and the devil had been defeated. And that's why he could hang there and he said, it is finished, because he went through hell in a few hours and defeated all of it. Awesome. And that's what this is all about. This is Jesus being through hell, coming out the other side, giving us victory so that we don't have to live with scars, with mars, with pain, with shame. We don't have to be disfigured on the outside, on the inside, whatever. Certainly on the inside. We don't have to live with that. We're not victims, we're victors. There might be some of you here this morning, you don't know Jesus, and you might feel like, well, I feel like I'm a victim, or I feel like I'm scarred or marred or a mess on the inside. Well, God is the only one, the only person. Jesus Christ is the only one who can change all that disfigured stuff on the inside. All of the stuff where you feel like I'm broken or I'm empty or I've got no hope. He's the only one that can come and change that. There's no person, there's no philosophy, there's no book you can read, there's no guru you can go to. There is no one else that can sort that out except him. He is the only one. And the amazing thing is, he has already sorted all of it out. 2,000 years ago. So today, you can come into complete healing, wholeness, health, freedom, forgiveness on the inside of your life. So you know that's it. The confusion, the stuff going on in your mind, you can be free of today, because that's what God does.
That's right.
Are you ready? Yeah. Let's all stand together. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. If we could just have the servers up ready. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning that we are already living in victory. We thank you that 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you were with the disciples in that upper room, and you shocked them because you took a bit of bread and in front of them you broke it and you said, hey guys, this is my body. This is my body that is given for you. Take and eat. And they're like, what is this all about? They were going to find out a few hours later. Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Then he took the cup that was just on the table, the low table in front of them, and he said, it was wine in that cup, but he just said, hey guys, this is the blood of a new covenant. This is the blood that was. It's interesting how he didn't say this is going to be shed. He said, this is the blood that was shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this, remember me. And so he took that. They might not have understood at that moment, but we understand because we're the other side of the cross now, and we can understand that Jesus' body was given, beaten, hung there, went through hell, came out the other side. So we're not eating of a broken body in terms of, or a disfigured body. His body wasn't broken on the cross. He gave his body. We're not eating of a body that is on a cross now. We are now eating of the living life of who God is, who Jesus is. So he's saying, eat of me, eat of the life that I have given you. Drink of who I am. The blood that forgives sins, that wipes the slate clean. The most powerful liquid that is on the planet at work is the blood of Jesus that separates people from their past and gives them a totally new future. So, Father, I thank you. I praise your awesome name. Then as we eat and drink of you this morning, life and freedom and liberty is going to break out in this place in a fresh way. Let's just pray for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. We just need to bow self down for a couple of moments. Just come before the Lord. And the Holy Spirit wants to infuse you this morning. What I want you to do this morning is, first of all, just submit your character to Him. Because sometimes we say, "What? Well, you're that kind of person, so you express something like this, or you're free in that way because that's your personality, your character." But the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. It's interesting, at a football match, you've got, like yesterday, one of the games, however many were in Wembley, 80,000 people, and there's loads of different personality types in there, but yet, when Man City scored the goal, every personality type just was out the window. Because the response to what happened was bigger than somebody's personality or character. Everybody, well, every Man City fan anyway, in that stadium, suddenly, they didn't, when Man City scored, they didn't just go, "Cool. I'm melancholy, so great. Oh, that's brilliant, Man City. We won up. It was brilliant." You know, it was like, you know, they're all on the edge of their seat. They're standing up. They're like, "Come on, come on, come on." The guy puts the ball in the net and the whole place goes, "Whoa!" Like, and they even do that funny thing where they all put their arms and whatever they are. I don't know. What do you call it? Whatever it is. It's stupid. Anyway. And, you know, when the Spirit of God comes in you, He works the nature and character of God in you. Of course, but there's loads of different personality types in here. God hasn't made us all the same, so we're just blobs on earth with a face or something. You know, we've all got a character and all of that. But we want to submit that to the Holy Spirit, to the life of who God is, so that we don't restrict the expression of the Holy Spirit in us and through us in our lives. And so let's just pray for a minute. Just submit your character. That your character is not the thing that leads you or dominates your life. But the Holy Spirit is the one. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Jesus is in you this morning. So just bring your character, your personality under His Lordship today. The way you like doing stuff, the way you say, "Well, I respond to the Lord like this," or "I, you know, whatever." Just bring it all under His Lordship. And so, Holy Spirit, come and infuse me afresh this morning. I submit my personality, my character. I bow self down to you right now. And I thank you for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit right now at this moment, where you supersede my nature and character with your nature and character. So I submit my soul right now, my mind, my emotions, and my will. I submit my soul, who I am right now, to your Spirit, Father, and to your nature and character, so that your nature and character floods into mine in a fresh way, so the expression of who you are infiltrates who I am, and so the expression and response in my life oozes with your nature and character just flowing out, so that my response is one of the Spirit and not just one of the flesh or of the natural. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's others of you this morning. Come on. Praise your awesome name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you are like, "Well, I need this. I feel guilty, or I feel separated from God, whether you know Him or not. I need to get that sorted this morning." Well, again, easiest thing to do is talk to Jesus and give Him right now whatever's going on. It could be guilt. You could have a sense of shame or separation from God. It doesn't matter what it is. God is powerful right now. to do something in your life. If you know there's areas where you know, God, I just keep tripping up over the same thing. We're going to draw on the power of God right now to finish that cycle in your life. But you need to not just come and say, God, I'm sorry again. You need to, it's like bow self down and say, right, in the name of Jesus, I repent now of things. I give up trying to fight this thing right now. Holy Spirit, the word says that the word is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides between bone and marrow and every thought and attitude of the heart. So, Father, I want you to prove to work, not just prove so there you go, but to prove is to make happen. I want you to prove, to make happen in my life today, that separation from, I keep tripping up with this and tripping over the other in terms of sin or in terms of whatever's going on. And God, I ask you to prove in me this morning, do that work in me. I choose right now, I have no power in myself to make that change, but I stand before you and repent now of doing certain things, living in this way, tripping over the same thing. And I call on you, Holy Spirit, to prove the power of God's word in me this morning, that there is a separation from that I've been living, and coming into freedom and forgiveness right now in Jesus' name.
Come on.
And just take it now. Just thank God that He separates you now. From a cycle of sin or a cycle of behavior, stuff that has just felt like a hook in your life that you feel like you're being reeled in all the time. Well, we just cut that off right now. We unhook that now in Jesus' name. If you're feeling stuff has happened to you and you feel like a victim, well, God wants to take you out of victim this morning and into victor, into victory. He doesn't want you to be under that anymore. He wants you to live over it. And this morning is your morning to come out of shame, guilt, pain, whatever. Now, it's important, before we have communion, that you stand, whoever, whatever, that you forgive.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit enables you, can help you. The power of God is here to do this stuff this morning. So just stand there, and if you need to forgive somebody, just do it right now. Forgiveness is letting people off. That's what forgiveness is. It's letting people off. That's what Jesus did on the cross. We were as guilty as hell, every one of us in this room, even before we were born, because you're born with a sin nature. You can't help it. Your nature is to sin, to go against God. And at some point or other, most of us in this room have given our lives to Jesus, and that sin nature was taken out, and God put His nature on the inside. So the power of sin is broken over your life. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, help me right now to forgive. And we were as guilty as anything. When we hung there, it was like God said, I'm letting you all off. Even though we're all guilty. He said, I'm letting you all off. That's awesome. Because there's nothing you and me can do to get our salvation, our own strength. Good works, all of that. He'll never do it. It's totally because of the mercy, the grace, and the unfailing love of God that on the cross, He said, I'll become guilty and take all the punishment, all the pain. I'll take everybody else's blame, shame, guilt, the lot. I'll take everything on myself and I'll let everybody off so that they can come into forgiveness and freedom and relationship with the Father. And so if you know you need to forgive this morning, I'm not making light of stuff, but the power of God is so much greater. And so you might just choose to forgive this morning. Even though you might feel like a victim, even though you might feel like it's somebody else's fault, the most important thing at this moment is to be free.
That's it.
I tell you, when you forgive, wanting revenge or wanting this, that, or the other, it doesn't become an issue anymore. It's like the whole thing gets deflated.
That's right.
So just choose right now to forgive that person. I choose right now to let go. I choose right now, I don't want revenge, or I don't want to get back, or that person, God asks you to forgive me for an attitude that's developed towards that person. You feel like, well, hang on, that's not my fault. Well, just let it all go. I tell you, you'll be so grateful. That's you come right. into freedom. You'll actually turn around and you'll want the person to be saved. You'll want the person to be blessed and all of that because something happens on the inside of you.
Yes.
So, Father, I thank you just for your grace now to forgive, to let go of stuff or whatever that's gone on. Father, I thank you for the freedom, the forgiveness, the liberty that comes in right now. Father, we praise your awesome name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While we have communion together, there's a number of you that have got physical illnesses, emotional stuff going on, one or two more, you know, mental things, whatever. But as we're going to eat and drink this morning, the power of God is going to touch your body and something's going to take place in your body this morning. So he wants you to receive of who he is, of what he's already done 2,000 years ago. He not only went through hell to forgive sin, but he also went through hell to deal with every sickness, every pain that you could have in your body, mentally, physically, emotionally, or whatever. He went through that, came on the other side, and he defeated all of that lot and said, it is finished. So you can take hold of what has already been won for you. So you're already in the winner's enclosure, the winner's circle. You're already on the top step of the podium as a winner. And you can take hold of that this morning because Jesus is your healer. He's living in you. And you can say, God, I take hold of my healing right now. There's no cancer. There's no disease. There's no physical ailment. There's no emotional turmoil that can stand against who you are in my life today. So I take hold of the fullness of who you are right now. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Let's just begin to pass out the bread and the wine. As you eat this morning, just eat. And we're chucking every religious thing out the window this morning. We're eating and saying, God, I thank you as I eat of you. You fill me afresh.
Come on, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Zeal consumes me, even into my bones, into every part of who I am. As I drink of you, I thank you for cleansing power of your blood at work in me right now. You're being saved right at this moment. You have been saved. You are being saved. You're being saved at this moment. You're living in and walking in your salvation this morning. You were saved last week or last year or a few years ago, whenever it was. But you are being saved this morning. He's transforming you right now from one degree of glory to the next. He's working his spirit in you right now as you stand there. Thank you, Jesus. And one day you will be saved. I think it's awesome. One day Jesus is going to present you and me before the Father. And the Bible says he's going to present us perfect before the Father. That's awesome. And that doesn't mean you're going to be a better model in a few years' time, a better version. If you died right now and you stood before the Father, Jesus would be like, hey, look at this work of perfection. Look at this work of perfection. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't he awesome? Look at the work of perfection that you have done through me in their life. And he presents us perfect in him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.